Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 13, verses 1 through 6, Bible says, keep on loving each other as brothers. You know, there's a purity in that. Amen? There's a purity in that. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all. Can I get a witness on that? Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper and I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Do you say that? Do you believe that? Balthazar, do you believe that this morning? Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, knowing that we have those obstacles in our path, Lord, and we need your assistance, Lord, to move through them. Lord, there is a prize before us, and Lord, you have called us to press on in our lives, to press over the challenges, to press through the shaking, Lord, to find that which is stable. And Lord, there is some instability in our lives this morning, Lord, and I am praying by your Holy Spirit that you would speak to our hearts, speak to my heart, speak to every heart in this place today, Lord, and let the sin be laid bare, Lord. Let that which is shakable be shaken, Lord, and what remained, that which is firm, Lord, our grasp onto you, Lord. Let us grab onto you this morning. And Lord, we know that you are close to us, Lord, that you will never forsake us, Lord, that you do not leave us alone, Lord. And so as you are here with us this morning, Lord, that you guide us where we need to go. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I got a call this week talking about pressing on to the prize, talking about relying on our Lord as our provision and our strength. And I got a call from my friend Jerry. Jerry was my best friend. In fact, I'm going to tell him that I preached about him today. So, hey, Jerry. Everybody say, hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
You probably listen to this on the internet maybe today. And me and Jerry were best friends in junior high and high school. And he called me and said, you know, and I've talked to him a couple times. I hadn't talked to him in 10 years. And I talked to him a couple times in the last several years. And he actually came down to San Diego. And Elsie hooked him up with a catamaran. And he was blessed, his family was blessed, got a wonderful family. He called me this week and he said, man, I haven't talked to him in 8 months maybe. He says, you have been totally on my heart. How are you doing? I said, I'm doing good, you know. Family's good. Joe's 6'1½", you know, he's growing, all this stuff. And he says, you know, when I was down there talking with you, I said I was going to send you some money, you know, try and support the work there because I know it's a viable work. And I'm thinking in my heart, oh, man, you send it down, bro. I mean, that is a message from God, because I'll tell you what, money is tight, folks. I mean, you know it. Can I get a witness on that?
Yeah.
Money is tight around here. Our water bill at the church last month, $750. 2 months of water. Just water. This last 2-3 weeks, I've just been going, Lord, we need a hookup, man. Lord, you are a provider. We need some provision, Lord. We are following you, Lord. Make that provision. Jerry calls up, says, hey, you're on my heart, man. Isn't that cool?
Amen.
Wonderful old saint. Holly. I'm going to tell Holly. I'm going to talk about her today on the sermon, too. Wonderful saint. Her husband, Ray, her present husband was Ray. Her husband had passed away, had played this beautiful Hammond organ. Big old Leslie speaker next to it. And I love that sound. We got a Leslie back there and Gail that's great on it. And I called her about that $3,000. Like, oh, man. And it was just beautiful. And the way she described it in city pictures. And I just said, oh, man. And I just started thinking about it. $3,000 is just too much to spend. And realistically, We couldn't fit it in up here. And she sends me this email and says, you know, I so have wanted a church to have that organ. And I know it's tough. She asked me, what's your website? I want to see what you got. She said, oh, you got so much stuff going on and the kids and da-da-da-da-da. She says, I have prayed about it. And the Lord has just directed me and said, we're just going to give you that organ. And I'm like, wow. Pressing on to the prize. Pressing on to the prize of God. Studying the book of Hebrews. Talking about the prize of heaven. Spend eternity with God. Bible tells us that God has placed eternity in your heart. Now, there are some who would say, that's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There are some who say, oh, no, when we're done here, we're done. And I'm not going to talk to you about that today. Why? Because the Bible says God has put eternity in your heart and that you have an awareness that there is something that is coming after. Can I get a witness on that? Well, I don't have to retread that, right? You know that there is something. I mean, we got all kinds of people write books about that, ghost stories, all this kind of stuff. Why? Why does it work? It works because God has put eternity in your heart. God has put eternity in my heart. And what God, the reason that God has put eternity in your heart is it gives you something to shoot for. That eternity, that spending eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ is the prize that we are supposed to press on to. God has put that in your heart. He's put a hunger about that. We need to continue on because there's so much stuff that'll get us off track. Monica says, oh, yeah. There is stuff that would get us off track. He says, you make sure that you stay on track. Why? Because there are some people, the people he was writing to in the book of Hebrews, there are some people who lose their way. There are some people who would surrender, who would sacrifice the path of God for the life of this world. And the life of this world is a life that is all about me, about my desires, what I want, my provision, me, me, me. And as you live that life that is focused on you, it is a life that is focused on sin. Yes, you might be a visitor to this church today. And we do talk about S-I-N, sin. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. You've been here more than 2 weeks. We talk about sin. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Like, yes, again, he's on the sin. You know, when you guys are done with sin, we won't talk about sin anymore. But I talk about sin every week. Amen? Amen. There's some folks that are here today. Come into this church. And you hear the hookup that comes from the lady, Holly, and here's the hookup that comes from my friend, Jerry, and you're saying, I could use a hookup from God. Where is my hookup? Where is my provision? And I'm telling you, you can come walking into this church this morning, and you can still be living the life of this world. Amen. When I do that, that means, can I get a witness without saying that? You come in here, and the stuff that you do in your life is a stench to God. And because your life is a stench to God, your life is in the toilet. You come in here today and you wonder why you're not getting a hookup from God. It's because you're living the life of this world. And today we're going to talk about living the life of this world or walking down the path of God. And it's my job to make sure that you know where you are at. Are we okay on that? Amen. That was a little thin. Are we okay on that? Amen. All right, praise the Lord. See, because for the provision for this church to continue on, I got to do my job. And my job is to focus on you folks. So, if this makes you uncomfortable, you might want to find another church. Because I'm going to do my job. And my wife's going to do her job. Can I get a witness on that, wife? Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Yeah, I'm just trying to get a witness from my wife. Praise the Lord. God is paying attention. God is paying attention to me. God is paying attention to this church. And God is paying attention to you. Bible says the marriage bed should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge Everybody say judge, would you?
Judge.
God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. You say, Pastor, you're always talking about sexual immorality. Sorry, it's in the book. As often it comes up, that's how often I'm going to talk about it. Amen. Can I do that? Thank you very much. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. We need to live lives of satisfaction. You can do that. Mick Jagger could not do that. Think of all the money Mick Jagger has. I can't even imagine how much money Mick Jagger has. You know, can you imagine? Can you imagine if Mick Jagger today took his shoes off and put them on eBay? Just his shoes, man. I mean, here's my slippers, my favorite slippers, probably something weird like alligator skin slippers, you know? And he just put it, said, you know, Mick@eBay.com, Mick J, whatever, you know? Said, Mick Jagger's shoes, it's got a picture of him with them shoes on right here. Can you imagine how much somebody would pay just for his old slippers? But what does he say? I can't get no satisfaction. Lord says, you should live lives of satisfaction, that you should live lives of contentment. He says, watch out for greed. Greed can get you off track. Greed can get you off the pathway of God. That love of money, you get your focus on money and it's going to take your focus off God. Can I get a witness, please? Amen. You don't have to have money to be focused on. You say, I don't got no money, I'm safe. No, you can love money anyway. My son loves money. Man, you know what he loves to do? Spend it. You give my son $5 this morning, he will have no money tonight. Oh, I got money. What do you do with money? Spend it. I shouldn't say that he loves money, but he does love to spend it. Okay, so, okay. Anyway, you can put your money, your focus on sex, and it will take your focus off God. There is all kinds of stuff on this planet that will get your focus off God and get your focus off his path. Gluttony. Gluttony is a focus on food. Drunkenness is a focus on getting high. Now, for the sake of the word of God, I'm going to say that drunkenness includes alcohol, methamphetamine, weed, heroin, whatever you want, crack, smack, whatever you're talking about. You can put a focus on getting high, and it will take your focus off of God and off of the path of the Lord. So you have to watch out for the love of anything that is going to take your focus off the path of God. And that is what this writer is saying. Now, in contrast to that love of the world and the love and the desires of the world is contentment. It is so quiet. Contentment. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, contentment. I'm just so content. Paul said, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Are you content? Are you loving God? I tell you what, my wife says, how you doing? I usually say, I'm doing good. And I am doing good. She asked me last night, how you doing? I said, I'm tired, but I'm good. But I'm good and tired. I have learned, this is Paul, not me, I'm working on it. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry. How many people know it is a challenge to be content when you are hungry? That is a lesson that we can learn. Whether living in plenty or living in want, we can have contentment. And I want you to notice something, what we can learn from Paul. On the path of God, sometimes there is plenty, and sometimes there is not. My question is, will you take both ends of that? Because there's some people come in here today just looking for the plenty. God's good and plenty church. This ain't it. There's other God's good and plenty churches. We're going to talk about the whole message of God, the whole word of God. Point number two. Paul said, I've learned to be content with a bunch and content with not much. And a lot of us walk around today with not much in our pockets. And the Lord says, you can be content in that. Why? Point number two, because the Lord is with you. Bible says, continue reading halfway through verse 5. Bible says, because God said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. If God's not going to leave you and God's not going to forsake you, that means that he is right there with you right now. Amen? Bible says, so we say with confidence, everybody say confidence, please.
Confidence.
So we say with confidence that the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Contentment, discontentment, because God is with you, because God is aware of the situation that you are in today, of the challenges that you face today, and when you are discontent with your life and your situation, that means you are discontent with the provision of God. Would you say, Lord, you're missing me here. We got a hookup. Now, if you don't have what you think you should have, obviously there is no hookup. And you might start asking yourself, why am I not hooking up with God? And what do I need to change in my life so that I can hook up with God? Because he is with you. We say to God, you're not keeping up your end, Lord. But I got to tell you, God always keeps up his end. Some people would say amen on that. Can I get a witness on that, please?
Amen.
We can be confident in the provision of God, folks. The same way that I got a call from Jerry, and the same way that I got the offer from Holly, God knows what you need. And you come in here today and you say, but I don't have enough to eat. My children don't have enough to eat. Good question. Why is God not hooking me up? Why don't I have enough to eat? Well, I have two questions for you. Are you tithing? What? I don't have food in my house. How can I tithe? Well, if you can't tithe, that's probably why you don't have food in your house. Because the Bible says that, he says in Malachi chapter 3, I want to say, when you bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, I'm going to open up the floodgates of heaven so that there's going to be so much that you cannot contain it. You got so much that you can't contain it?
Amen.
If you don't, I got to ask you if you're tithing. Bible also points to my second question. Are you working? Because the Bible says, if a man doesn't work, a man shouldn't eat. Because there was this tendency in Thessalonica that people would just come and show up and get food. And they were just sitting around waiting for Jesus to come back. And Paul tells them, hey, if you're not working, you shouldn't be eating. You say, well, I'm disabled. Look at Balthazar over there. Balthazar, he's got a bass guitar. He can be working hard, learning that bass guitar, and one day up here playing bass. You know what? I don't care what your disability is. Before the Lord, you are not disabled. Before the Lord, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that you have a place and a purpose in the path of God.
Amen.
And that with all due diligence, you should be working that. And my question is, I'm just coming to what I can get. There's no hook up there, folks. There's no hook up there. And you're living it. God has a plan for you. God has provision for you. But God's provision for you includes more than just food. God's provision for you includes advancement in your life and maturity in your life and progress for your soul. Food, boy, that sends a good message. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. You say, I've been ripped off. God didn't protect me from this sinner who ripped me off. There's protection. But I have a question for you. Were you ripped off because you were less than diligent? Bible says, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And that means we can't just be walking around being stupid. I'm stupid, but the Lord is my protector. No, he says, well, I'm here for you, but let's not be stupid. Am I talking to anybody here? Come on now. Amen. Don't be stupid. Jesus says to the disciples, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. And I don't know what has happened to you, but God is right there with you. The Bible says, the Lord speaking to his people says, I will return the years that the locust has taken. That whatever has been stolen from you, our Lord owns the planet and he can restore that. Amen?
Amen.
Get on the path. There is provision, there is protection, there's all this kind of stuff. Now, there are heinous things that man will do to another man. They took Jesus and they beat him and they crucified him and killed him on a cross. That is heinous. We can read the news and there is heinous things that are done to little children like this. Heinous, heinous things. The Bible tells us that Jesus hung on a cross and died. But on the third day, he was raised from the dead. That he was taken to heaven and he was given the name that is above every name. And I don't know what horrible thing has been done to you in your past or the people that you know in their past. But I do know that God is bigger than anything that has happened to you. And there is healing that is available to you. And if there is no healing on this side of heaven, make sure you get to the prize where he will wipe away every tear. Amen? Press on to the prize. Don't get off track. I want to make sure you know where you're at today. Okay?
Amen.
All right, point number two. The path of God works. Path of God works. Verse 7 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now, he's talking about the guys that were killed. Oh, yeah, Pastor Joseph, they cut his head off. Yeah, a big challenge to follow. Pay attention to those that are on the path. I'm going to talk to you about the people that are around you right here. The people that are serving, the people that are leading in this church, because the leaders in God's house are supposed to be on God's path. Amen? We are surrounded by new ideas and novel ideas and new approaches to life. But I'll tell you what, around here we're going to stick with God's plans. Amen? Because they are tried and true over thousands of years and they will work. Bible says, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. We're going to hold on to that. That if you want to see God's provision, bring your tithe into the storehouse. Like, oh, he's got no money. Well, hey. Oh, yeah, we're not just going to toss this out because your economy's messed up. Amazingly, God's tithe is graduated. If you make a dollar, put in a dime. You make $10,000, put in $1,000. It's graduated. But God's provision is the floodgates of heaven. Amen? God's leaders work the word. And when you work the word, your life gets better. I'll tell you, my life was in the toilet 20 years ago, in the toilet. Now I got a wife, wonderful wife that I don't deserve. I got two kids that are a blessing to me, and I have all you folks. Many of you are blessings. Some of you are not. But my life is blessed. And the Bible says, pay attention to the leaders around you. Look at what they're doing in their lives. And if it's working, copy it. If it's working, do what they do. And the Bible also says, if they're not following my word, confront them on it. You see me walking into, what's this? I don't want to ask you what it is. The Star and Garter used to be the name of that strip joint up on like 36. I don't know what it's called these days. You see me walking into the Star and Garter, I don't want to know what it is. I don't want to know that you know what it is. You better come up to me and say, "Pastor, what are you doing going into the strip joint?" And I better have some tracks in my hand, right? No, I just better not be going in there at all, right? That's from the pastor's wife. Says, "No, they don't need no tracks. If they need tracks, I'll take them in there for you." When you see stuff going on, you got to confront it. Now, I'll tell you what. I got that wonderful email from Holly saying, "Yes, I have prayed about it. God has talked to me, and I believe that he wants your church to have this organ." And I went, "Hallelujah." And I called her up and I said, "Holly, I got to tell you, I thank you for your generosity, and I thank you that you hear from the Lord." And she's just this wonderful, wonderful, dear lady. I said, "But I got to tell you, there's no way we could afford that church or that organ. And I also have to tell you that there's really not a way that we're going to be able to incorporate that organ into our worship time. It's just not going to work for us. And I know that when you made this generous offer, that you were thinking that we would be playing that organ in our church." And she said, "Oh, yeah." And I said, "I thank you so much for that offer, but I just can't receive that and have you thinking that we're going to play it when we're not." And I said, "But we'll still take it, because we could turn that into some resources that we could use, and we feed people and we do all kinds of stuff, and it's tight." And she says, "Well, I really wanted a church to have it." I said, "Well, I would let you know that I wouldn't give it to anybody but a church, sell it to anybody but a church." And you know what she said? She said, "Well, I'm going to pray on that." And I said, "That's good enough for me. Because if I take her organ in less than a righteous way, there is a stench that begins to come up from the church. And nobody wants to see this church in the toilet." Amen? Amen. Look at your leaders. Look at the leaders around here. You see bad stuff going on? You talk to them. Talk to them first. And if they aren't having it, then you come and talk to me. And we'll go talk to them. Why? Because the Lord will put it on your heart, and the Lord will make you aware of situations that he wants you to grow to be able to approach and address. Amen? Amen. And if you got a problem with me, you come and talk to me. And if I blow you off, you can go tell my wife. She'll beat me up at home. Okay. There's weird stuff going on out there. I can get a witness on that, right? Yeah, there is some weird stuff. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be carried away by all kinds of strange stuff, by all kinds of strange teaching. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. All kinds of stuff, strange stuff going on. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You get onto the path of God, he's going to keep you going the same direction, and you don't have to worry about getting upended or turned over. The enemy will come and attack you, but the path is secure. There is strength that's on the path. There's provision on the path. It's when you get off the path that things start getting really dangerous. He says, don't be taken off track by all this weird stuff. I hear comments like, "Well, I think," and "to me." Well, realistically, I don't care what you think. And you shouldn't care what I think. We should come to an agreement. Let's figure out what God says, and let's do that. Let's figure out what God said. "Well, to me, I think it's okay." Well, let's just, okay, that's good that you think that. That's nice. Let's figure out what God says about what you're thinking, and let's see if what you're thinking lines up with God. And then if it doesn't, let's modify what you're thinking to line up with God. Because there's some people who'd rather just tear some of these pages out of the Bible. Leave a nice big old gap so that you can think whatever you want to think. There is some strange stuff going on out there. Don't be taken off track. The Word of God will keep you on the path, will keep you focused on the prize, and will get you to eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Thank you for that, Timothy. Larry's gone today. He's my amen man. Timothy is stepping in behind them. The way of the Lord is hard enough. And he's talking about these ceremonial foods. Have you found the way of the Lord to be challenging? You know, the way of the Lord is challenging enough without adding extra stuff in. Bible says, Romans 9:33, as is written, see, I lay a stone in Zion that causes men to stumble. A rock that makes them fall, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. The Word is tough enough. We don't got to add anything else to it to complicate it. Yuseli came up to me the other day. She's doing preschool this morning. And she said, Pastor, it was Monday, I think. Pastor Bob, I got to talk to you. I went to this other church visiting. And they said that you couldn't cross your hands or your legs in church. That it was a sin. I'm like, really? They also said that you couldn't wear spaghetti strap shirts because your shoulders showed. Now, I'm fine with shoulders. It's some of the other parts that I want to make sure that are covered up. Bible says we need to dress with all modesty, okay? But she says, is that true? And I said, well, you know, Yuseli, you know the Word. You've been going to me. You've been doing this other stuff. Why don't you say, that's great. Can you show it to me? Because this is the only book we got. Who was it? Anthony came up to me yesterday and said, Pastor Bob, I have a question I want to know. Are tattoos forbidden in the Bible? Yes. Like Deuteronomy or Numbers. It says, yeah, don't do that. What about piercings? Them too. Don't do it. Thomas, you got a tattoo, right? Tattoo's not going to send you to hell. But Bible says, don't do that. Well, I don't care what you think. I think Jesus had a tat. Crack it open. Show me. Find it. I'm good. But I don't want to don't look it up in the new tattoo version. You know, I mean, there'll be tats all over the place. There was a church in Sacramento. We went. And they were big on no jewelry and no makeup. Oh, big deal. No jewelry, no makeup. And we would go, it was fairly close to this church we were ministering up there in South Sac. And we would go to this restaurant, I think it was IHOP, after church. And man, these ladies would come in, no makeup. And some of them could use some. No jewelry, right? But I'm telling you, their hair would be this big. I mean, they had the hair that was going, and then they would all be dressed in evening gowns. You know, it's like, we got no makeup. We're following God. We got no makeup, and we got no jewelry. But check out our dresses. You know, see, you major on the minor details, and you can get lost. And it's this minor minutia that people will throw at you, and call it the Word of God that will get you off the path and get you living the life of the world. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I'm going kind of long. God's people do good. God's people do good. Through Jesus, therefore, this is, I skipped about 6 or 8 verses here. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name, and do not forget to do good, to share with others, for with such sacrifice God is pleased. With such actions God is pleased. And I want to let you know that changed people act changed. I mean, that's kind of, think about it for a second. Changed people changed by God, act differently. Changed people act changed. When you come into this place, things should look different. And we got some pretty rough folks in this place. But the longer they're coming, the smoother they should be getting. Are you changing? God's people are generous. Are you generous? We need to share what we have. We need to be charitable. Why? Because God is our supply. And because God is our supply, we need to share with the people around us. And when we do that, when we do good, when we are charitable, when we share, we please God. There are those who come into our midst who do not understand. They come to the food distributions on Monday, Wednesday, Friday to take, to steal, to get over. They don't understand. You are supposed to be different. They're supposed to come in here and see you and go, wow, these people are different. They got something that I want. Last thing. God's leaders have a responsibility. I have a responsibility. Obey your leader. Everybody say obey.
Obey.
Everybody say submit.
Submit.
And I love this verse. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. I have to give an account to God for what goes on in your life. What about Steve? Man, I was working on Steve. What about Balthazar? I was working on Balthazar. Man, I was bringing it. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. God has called me to keep an eye on you guys. That's my job. I have pension, pay attention to you. I am concerned for you. I am concerned for your souls. And when I'm concerned for your souls, I will call you. I will generally try to have a meeting with you. Hey, how you doing? You got a minute for coffee? I'm worried for your soul. Sometimes we're going to have a little plan on how to do some good stuff, but sometimes I'm just concerned for you. One of our core values here is we grow people. And every one of you in here, except for maybe Richard, because I just met Richard today, but I'll be thinking about him after church. There are some people here that do not grow. There are some people here that do not grow because they are living the life of the world. You can come in here and think you're good, but you are not. You'd rather get high. You'd rather lie. You'd rather cheat. You'd rather steal. And you'd rather live in adultery. And I want to tell you again that these things are a stench to God. And that your life stinks. And when your life stinks, you're not going to grow. Now, some of you are doing those things, and I am so glad that you are here today. And I want you to keep coming. But life in the path of God is not filled with sin. And it's my job to let you know that. And when you come here, I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you that because I'm worried about your soul. And I want to make sure that you make the prize. Often what is going on in your soul, realistically, always what is going on in your soul is displayed by your choices. And some of you, are an absolute joy to minister to. Your prayers, your requests, your questions are just such an encouragement. What talks about there? Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden. And my daughter is teaching Julie's class today. I told her, I said, hey, I want you to be up here because I'm going to talk about you. Julie put together a VBS, and we've talked about VBSs over the years. And this year's VBS is the best VBS that I can remember. And I talked to Julie and I said, okay, look, we're going to do a VBS, we're going to do that. I also want to prepare adults to grow so that after this VBS, they will be equipped for ministry. And so there is this young lady, 18-year-old girl, Umada, who comes on Wednesdays. And she's been through all kinds of training, and she's participating in that. And in September, she's going to begin teaching the grammar school class on Wednesday nights. Linda is back there in the overflow. And we're looking at you guys. Look at me now. Alex. Yeah, I'm talking. Linda back there. She is being trained to take over the grammar school class in September. And you're liking that, right, Linda? What did I say? Oh, grammar, a preschool class. And Eva, who, you got to pray for Mike. Mike had to go to the dentist. His whole side of his face was messed up. His tooth is hurting him. So I'm sure she's caring for Mike. She's a real caregiver. She's going to be a substitute for Linda once a month. And so Julie, that I've known for 20 years or something, came with the idea. I said, okay, let's put this together. All the youth are participating in it. You see what is going on. It is a joy to work with you on this, Julie. You are a blessing. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm glad you're up here today, too. Many of you are joys to me and to Lisa like that. It is our hope that each of you, it's our desire that each of you are continuing on the path of God. Moving from the life of the world can be a tough shift to make. You know, we come out of the world and we are molded into the shape of the world, and it's so tough to break that mold. And I have great news for you that the Lord has a hammer, and he will break that mold. Jesus would lead you out of a life of sin. Jesus would cleanse you from the stench of sin, give you a new way to go, a new way to live. He would lift you out of the toilet. I came out of the toilet. Maybe you're here today and your life is in the toilet. Maybe you're here today and you've been coming to the church and you just feel filthy. The Lord is here this morning. He says, oh, I know. I've been with you your whole life. I have watched you all along the way. Time to break the mold today. Time to get on the path. Lisa, would you come up and play for a moment? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come. 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 Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come.